Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 welcome to the official Redbird Rants podcast. This is a milestone, everybody. This is episode 10. We have made it to episode 10, and we are so proud and so happy to be here. We are recording live tonight via Blog Talk Radio, and we want to thank them for the partnership with Fansided. We are from Redbird Rants, Fansided sports blog, where you can find all things St. Louis Cardinals. I am Michael Miles, co-editor of Redbird Rants, and I'm joined tonight by my co-editor, Tito Rivera, and we're also joined tonight by Trevor Huth. Hi, fellas. How are you?
Feeling a little inferior since I'm not an editor, but I'm fine.
I'm doing all right. Don't feel inferior. We're all part of the same team.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Trevor, please don't feel inferior. You are one of our best writers, and we say that to all of them. But you guys have really elevated everything this month at Redbird Rants. We are about 5,000 views away from breaking the 300,000 view barrier, and I can tell you in my almost 2 years tenure with Redbird Rants, we have not yet ever broken through that 300,000 view line, and we are about to do it this month. So really, hats off to all of the writers, and you especially, Trevor. You've got some really awesome pieces. Speaking of
Thank
that, Trevor,
you.
Why don't you give our listeners a quick just sort of snapshot of some of your articles that are sitting out there right now?
Well, the most recent one that I've written is about Daniel Ponce de Leon, who was having a great season through AAA, but unfortunately suffered an injury after taking a line drive off his head. So he's working back from that, and it's kind of just the latest updates on that. The other pretty popular piece is one I actually did with one of our other writers, Larry, and we went through and we debated the value of Colton Wong and pretty much everything about him. So there's a couple great pieces right there.
And they really are really wonderful pieces. I'm really glad that you put up an update on Ponce de Leon. I had written a couple about him back when everything happened and tried to keep the readers up to date through the weeks right after that horrific accident. So it's good to see that the man is progressing and coming back, because if you will remember, there was a threat that he may not even be able to walk again.
Yeah, everything that I was finding in research said he's progressing very quickly, and they're pretty happy with how he's coming. And, you know, a few months down the road, they'll start talking baseball activities again, hopefully.
Yeah, great update. Hey, Tito, I would be remiss if I didn't give you a couple seconds to plug some of the things you've got sitting out on Redbird Rants. So give our listeners a little preview for what you've got out there.
Sure, yeah. I've been kind of on the rumor mill lately. My most recent piece was about Matt Carpenter and a matchup with the New York Yankees. And I'm not going to lie, I've been catching some pretty big heat for it, and I kind of went in knowing that that was going to happen, but I've seen a lot of people call me crazy, a lot of people laughing at me, and the only thing I'd have to say to those people is if you're not realistic about your roster, then you truly do not know the game of baseball. So thank you. Shout out to all my haters.
And we know that there's a special shout out there to Josh McDonald, one of our writers, who's probably the president of the Tito Hate Club, right?
Yeah, that's okay though.
Of course, in a very loving way. So,
yeah,
so guys,
sure.
We've got a great agenda today. I want to let our listeners know that every third Wednesday I host another podcast over on UCB Radio, also through Blog Talk. And Tito helped me yesterday as we had to tape a a makeup from one that was missed, and we actually talked about our first topic, and that show is only 30 minutes. And so just wanted to give a fair warning to our listeners that Tito and I, and now that we've added Trevor, we could probably talk this first topic for the entire 1 hour. But let's dive into that one, and let's just see how far we go. First up on our agenda is the recent roster moves. Fowler, Dexter Fowler, and Kevin Segrist heading to the disabled list. Randall Grichuk being recalled out of AAA Memphis and actually making a name for himself coming up in the first two games. Luke Voit actually debuting last night in a pinch hit and actually starting in today's game. And then I want to say something, and we'll get to it, but I'd really love to just hear, Trevor, let's start with you. Give me your thoughts on those things, the Fowler and Segrist to DL, Grichuk coming up, and Luke Voit. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, if you look back to Fowler's last season, I'm going to start with him. He missed a lot of the year due to a bunch of DL stints. I think he only played 120 games. So this is something that it doesn't surprise me at all. But the good news for me is that he was actually quoted as saying after the game that they put him on DL after the game, and he was quoted as saying, "I don't have a leg to stand on." He said that to somebody, and I think that's a good sign. You could take it either way. You could say he's in a lot of pain. I take it to mean he's joking around, which means – it won't be that long of a DL stint, which is good because he was one of the hottest hitters going into this, even though he was 0 for 2 in his last two games before getting hurt. But you attribute that to kind of a building injury, I would think. Segrist is a little bit of a different story with his injury. It's in his spine, and he's had some nerve damage and some nerve problems in the past. So this is just going to be something that he's going to have to pitch with. Going into the injury, he had a 4.28 ERA through 27 in the third inning. So I think it's something that's been bugging him for a while, and you kind of worry about that, especially as a lefty pitcher. So as far as those go, the injuries, Fowler's good. Segrist is not as good, I wouldn't think. And Grichuk, I don't know about him, man. He came back. He's been hitting the ball well. I don't know how much of that is adrenaline and vengeance and how much of that is a fixed swing, because he was having a lot of struggles going in. I actually went and looked up one of your articles, Dr. Miles, back from when he got sent down. And, I mean, he was 50 strikeouts in 46 games. So I don't know how much has changed with him. Time's going to tell. He's going to have to earn that back for me, at least. And for Voit, I just like him as a prospect. He's a big guy. He was killing the ball in the minors with a .322 batting average and 12 home runs. So I'm excited to see him.
Tito, take it away and just talk about some of the stuff that we hit on yesterday.
Yeah, so fortunately for me, you and I are well versed in this topic right now, Dr. Miles. But you and I talked about a couple of different things, and one of the biggest things that we kind of took away was, where is the Cardinal offense going to come from with Dexter Fowler on the disabled list? And that was a really big topic for us because he's been hitting the ball really, really well, especially since Matt Carpenter moved to the leadoff spot. Obviously, with Randall Grichuk coming back, you were going to hope that the offense would still be in a good spot, and it has been. But it really kind of throws a wrench in the Cardinals' plans. And so we hit on that pretty hard. The Segrist to the DL move, we kind of tossed it up to, you know, almost a comparison with Alex Reyes's injury. I had no idea that Kevin Segrist was hurt. I mean, he pitched like he was hurt, but to this extent of an injury, it's almost like Alex Reyes's situation with Tommy John. You didn't really know about it until all of a sudden he showed up with a torn UCL, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm having Tommy John, I'm out for the year, and there goes a lot of the Cardinals' plans. Now, I'm not saying Kevin Segrist was a main cog or anything like that, but it's nice to have somebody that another left-hander in the bullpen. Now, fortunately for the Cardinals, they have Tyler Lyons and Brett Cecil, but Kevin Segrist also, you know, when right, was pretty dominant. So we talked about that. We also hit on Grichuk being recalled. And as many of As many of you probably know at this point, I am not a fan of Randall Grichuk. I think he is overrated. It's nice to see him produce, but I'm going to go with Trevor on this. How much of it is actual adrenaline? Is it luck? Is it just playing a bad team? We don't know that. He's playing the Cincinnati Reds, who are in last place in the Central Division. So I'm not sure I'm willing to put all my chips in that basket. Luke Voit, I'm so excited for him. He got a double for, you know, his first hit as a major leaguer. I thought he was going to hit a home run today, and he actually almost did it. He got it in the air a little bit more. It would have been gone. But he said it himself. He's here to hit bombs and doubles. So that's exactly what he did. You know, it's good to see him up. It'll be really interesting at some point if he continues to hit what the Cardinals will do. Because you think of Matt Carpenter, you think of Colton Wong, and you think of Jed Jerko. Those three guys, besides Colton Wong really, but those three guys are main cogs in the infield. And if Luke Voit stays and plays first, what are you going to do? I mean, that's going to be the crux of the problem for the Cardinals at some point, is an overinflated infield with not a lot of spaces to go. So it'll be really interesting to see where the Cardinals go with this. But, was it enough moves? Were we expecting these kinds of moves when, you know, the news broke that John Mozeliak was going to have more player moves on the way? Probably not. But, you know, I guess it'll suffice for right now.
Yeah, and Trevor, do you have any comment to what Tito brought up about what's going to happen with Luke Voit if he continues to hit and how the Cardinals will handle that? Any of your gut reaction to that?
If he's going to hit, they're going to find a spot for his bat. If Grichuk, for whatever reason, just doesn't keep it up, which I don't think he will, maybe they try to transition him in the outfield. I think he played a little bit in the minors, if I'm not mistaken. If not, I mean, Matt Carpenter has been versatile in the infield before, so you can slide him to second to put Voit at first. You can move him to third if that's where the opening is. That's the good thing about the Cardinal infield right now, even with the overinflation, is you have Jerko and Carpenter who have played multiple positions. I'm sure you can mess around with Diaz if you need to, and Wong, you know, he hasn't played much but second, but he has shown durability issues this season, getting healthy and then hurting something else right away. So until he comes back and starts playing consistently, that's another little bit of concern for me. But I think that there will definitely be a spot there just because there's so many moving parts on the infield, and that's going to be what's going to be key to getting the best bats in the lineup. Whoever can hit is going to play.
You know, all this talk about Luke Voit, you know, if he hits, makes my Matt Carpenter piece not sound so crazy, right?
I didn't think it was crazy when I first saw it. I mean, this is stuff we can get into later, but something's going to have to happen. And if Matt Carpenter fits somewhere, I definitely see it. I read your piece. I thought it was great. If they fit, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And Tito, you and I talked about the Carpenter piece even before you started writing it. And as I told you then, I think it's a phenomenal idea. It works. And I'll tell you guys what I heard today, you know, in the pregame. I was listening to the game on the radio, but I heard in the pregame an interview with Luke Voit, and I heard that on KMOX they were really describing Voit as the right-handed Matt Adams. What's your thought on that?
Well, let's hope it's Matt Adams in Atlanta. He struggled a little bit with us, and if he's the Matt Adams from Atlanta, then great. Like I was saying earlier, his bat will find the way into the lineup, but if it's Matt Adams in St. Louis, then we have another backup first baseman situation.
But not only that, did you really expect Matt Adams to go on that kind of a tear in Atlanta? Probably not. So for them to compare, you know, for them to say, well, you know, we hope it's Matt Adams, yeah, great, but you're basing that off of results right now. I'm sure those same people, or a lot of people out there, are the same people that were saying, get out of here, Matt Adams, and now they want him back because he's hitting. Yeah, I'm not buying it. I don't think that's a fair comparison. I think Luke Voit needs to just be himself and do what he can and show that he can play the game and show that he can hit major league pitching. And if he can do that, no worries. All those comparisons to Matt Adams are going to go away. And I think he's actually probably a better player than Matt Adams. I did notice on his one at bat where he got his hit, you know, he does kind of have an unorthodox swing. He likes to kind of pull his hips a little bit, and I'm sure that's to generate a lot of power. But that's something to look out for, is if as time goes on, if major league pitchers will exploit that and pitch him away. And it's almost like Randall Grichuk. And that's what I'm looking for in Randall Grichuk at this point, is to see how he sets up at the plate. If he can keep his hips inside the ball, if he can keep his hands inside the ball and keep the barrel in the strike zone, in the hitting zone, he's going to be more successful than he has ever been. And that's the same thing with Luke Voit.
Yeah, and in defense of what KMOX was saying, they mentioned that Voit was a right-handed Adams, specifically in regard to the fact that he only plays first base. They really weren't making the comment to his offense, albeit
okay. There
is some equal comparison to Adams' offense, because Adams was a double or home run hitter. Well, let's move ahead a little. I want to get into some meaty material. And there was a recent tweet from Derek Gould in which he quotes John Mozeliak as saying the trend with the Cardinals is not positive. Let's start with you, Tito. What does that mean to you?
There are a couple things that I take away from that kind of a tweet. And I hope one of the commenters on our Facebook post is listening at this point, because what that means to me is something's about to happen. And that something could mean if this team doesn't get going in the next week, Mike Matheny, John Mavery, you might be looking for employment somewhere else. That's how I see it. That's how it comes off as to me. Another thing is when you say it's not trending in the right direction, it also could mean, well, the team is not going to perform. We're not meeting expectations, so we're just going to sell. Because John Mozeliak is very good at this. He plays a lot of word games, and he'll say something, but he completely means something else. Just because it says not trending in a not positive way doesn't mean everybody's leaving or the coaching staff is leaving. However, that's how I'm taking it. I'm taking it, and I'm coming from the approach that if the team does not perform within the next week or so, I think Mike Matheny is going to get the boot. Because you have to think, this division is still winnable. I hate the fact that a lot of people are like, oh, they're writing the Cardinals off. Oh, they're not going to win it. They can't come back from five games back. Are you kidding me? The Cubs aren't playing well. The Brewers are overperforming. Everybody else in the division stinks. The Cardinals have a legitimate shot. And that's exactly what John Mozeliak is trying to prove, is that the Cardinals actually can do this. But if they're not going to perform, and if management is not going to take this team to another level, then see ya. Goodbye. And that's the end of it.
Hey, before we get to you, Trevor, let's do a little something fun. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll get to hear Trevor's comments to the Derek Gould tweet where Mozeliak said things are not trending in the right direction, that they're not going very positively. So stick with us. You're listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode number 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. You are listening to episode 10 of the official Redbird Rants podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. We want to say thanks for sticking with us. Before the break, we got to hear from Tito Rivera, co-editor at Redbird Rants, as he gave his opinion on the Derek Gould tweet in which he quotes John Mozeliak, the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, as saying that the current trend with the Cardinals is not a positive one. And in his words, I'll try to summarize them for you, Tito said that he believes that means things don't change in the next week or so, that Mike Matheny, John Mabry, maybe others, could be looking for new employment. I stopped and didn't let Trevor fill in, so I'd love to hear from you now, Trevor. What are your thoughts on that tweet?
Well, when I heard it, I didn't take it to look in the future at all. When I first read it, I took it at face value. And to me, it was just like being at work and your boss walks into your office, says, hey, we're going to go bankrupt, and walks out. It really does nothing for you. It doesn't give you any really information. It just means that things aren't going well. And so I would have loved, you know, to hear some follow-up. So things aren't going well, and then this gets into kind of what Tito's going. I just want to know what the plan is. That's what it did to me, is it left me wanting a plan. Do you, you know, try to sell off and get some prospects? Do you call up, you know, Bader, Mags, Kelly, you know, whatever, and make, get them some playing time if you give up on the vision? Or do you try to get guys who are going to give you that push because you are only five games back, and that's your only chance of making the playoffs, because the wild card is all but out of reach already, which seems ridiculous. But again, only five games back, maybe that's the move. It just left me wanting to hear what the plan is for the future.
I completely agree with you, Trevor. I mean, again, it is as vague of a statement as you could probably make without giving too much away. And maybe that was John Mozeliak's intention the entire time when he was saying that. But again, I come to this, I'm stuck on this thing because remember, it wasn't that long ago, about 2 weeks ago, where John Mozeliak said, hey, we'll reevaluate the team in 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, it's been 2 weeks. Then he says this. This makes me think that he has already evaluated the team and knows what he wants to do, but he just can't come to the fact that he needs to do something. I don't know why. I don't know what. But this is driving me crazy. You're either a buyer or a seller at this point. You have to make a decision. And I said it in our last podcast episode. The Cardinals have to look themselves in the mirror, and this includes John Mozeliak. They have to look themselves in the mirror and decide what kind of team you are. If you're going to be a buyer, then put up. If you're going to be a seller, then sell. Get rid of your dead weight then at that point. What are you waiting for?
You know what? Something you said makes a lot of sense, actually. Just the way you describe Mozeliak, how he's always thinking ahead. This might all be part of the plan from the beginning. He might have made the roster moves and not even had to reevaluate. I think he probably already knew what he was going to do. He was just buying himself time to put all the pieces in place. So this might be just a sign that his pieces are finally about where he wants them and something's going to happen. But he is the kind of guy, I think, who would just say 4 to 6 weeks just to give himself time because he already knows what he wants. He just needed to buy time with the fans.
Go ahead,
Tito.
Okay. Well, the 4 to 6 week thing, we originally talked about it whenever that news came out. And the only thing that made sense to me, and I addressed it in an article actually about those comments, the only thing that made sense to me was that if he was going to wait 4 to 6 weeks, he's waiting to see how the market plays. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to gauge the interest of the market first, which is smart. I mean, it's business. But he's looking at who's going to make a move to improve their club. If nobody does it, do I stay pat? But if the teams above me go for it, that means I have to decide whether I want to go for it. And that's why I think he said 4 to 6 weeks, let me see where the team is, and then I'll make my move.
Yeah, I'm glad I let you speak, Tito, because that was exactly what I was going to say. You know, I have met with and talked with Mosaic before, and not one-on-one. I would enjoy that, but that didn't happen. But the man, and I've actually written about him making Machiavelli-type moves, the more I think about it, I'm right in line with you there, Tito. And really what you said too, Trevor, that I think he – I mean, if you look at the timeline, you had the coaching changes. And that was right at the same time that he said, yeah, I don't think any of our jobs are safe, mine included. And then he set out that 4 to 6 week timeline, and then he put all of these things in motion. And every one of them are a calculated domino. And that is very much the MO of Mo. And so these call-ups, I mean, there's even down to him releasing that little snip of news on Sunday morning to say, we've got some big changes coming. We've got several moves coming, but I can't talk about them publicly because I haven't spoken to the players. Baloney. Absolutely baloney. That was to garnish news, to get people to look at the Cardinals, and it worked. I mean, the man is an absolute PR genius, and you cannot believe a single word that comes out of his mouth. And I think he knows what he's doing. And honestly, the 4 to 6 weeks, Tito, I remember when we first talked about that, that you really laid out what that meant in terms of the opponents that the Cardinals were going to face. Because certainly, he can't make a decision off of the Reds series. He yeah. really couldn't make a decision off of the Pirates series. So he's got to get to one more tough series to say, look, I gave you great players. I gave you players on the rise. I gave you Mike Myers even, who had the 0.89 ERA over the last five starts in Memphis, and you can't handle it. Now I have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to do that before Bill DeWitt Jr. makes a decision.
And really the series that you're going to key on is this weekend against the Nationals. That's where actually I'll save my thoughts on that because we're going to get to that a little later, but the series to focus on the next two after the Cincinnati one, but I'll save my comments for later.
Trevor, anything before we get up to the next topic?
I was just going to – we're going to be talking about it later. I was going to say don't overlook the Arizona series starting tomorrow, though.
Yeah, no. That's exactly what I want. I have my comments for that, so I'm not – that's why I don't want to overlook anything.
Right.
Okay, so let's do that, guys. Let's go ahead and jump. Let's look ahead to the last days of June. There's not many. They really encapsulate two series. And give us those thoughts. Let's start with you, Tito. What are those thoughts that you were holding back? What do you think it's going to take? Or, you know, what decisions can be made from these, and what should we look for?
I think the Arizona Diamondbacks series is a clear measuring stick for the Cardinals as to what kind of team they want to be heading into July. I don't think... you know, it's crazy to think that the West, NL West, has three playoff teams right now, but that's the reality. That's what it is. And if the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs, they've got to face one of those three teams. So they have to go into Arizona, and they have to know that they can win in Arizona. So this is a good opportunity for the Cardinals to really, really put some pressure on the Arizona Diamondbacks and go in there. And typically the Cardinals play well there, but they need to go in there and pretty much say, okay, we're going to be here. Cause I guarantee you I projected the Dodgers to win the NL West. And I think the wild card is going to come down to the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. Let's say the Diamondbacks win, you know, more than likely they'll face the Nationals in the playoffs. But what if there's an opportunity? What if the Cardinals actually end up playing the Diamondbacks? They have to go in there and know how to win. So it's a good measuring stick. What I'm looking for is for the Cardinals to play good baseball and carry their pitching staff, because their pitching staff has not been that good. otherwise, I don't know how this national series is going to go. It's in St. Louis, but that's closer towards, you know, the beginning of July. But there could be some really telling signs at that point.
Trevor?
Well, I'm honestly not even worried about the national series. I'm all focused on this Diamondback series, and not even for playoff implications. I'm looking at it as right now the Cardinals are teetering on a point of buyers and sellers, and as front office may already know what they think they are, but I think this is going to be a very telling series for that, and I think the Diamondbacks are the perfect team to go up against, because I've looked heavily into this series, and you look at the pitching matchups. The Cardinals are going to be facing Taijuan Walker, Zach Godley, and Patrick Corbin. So they're not going to see the ace. They're not going to see Greinke. So they need to be able to hit these lower-level starters and get into the bullpen. And the bullpen's actually where I think the lineup is going to show through the most, because right now the best reliever for the Diamondbacks is Archie Bradley, and he has a 1.04 ERA through 28 games. So they're probably going to see him at some point, and how they are able to get to him, if they can get to him and other lineups can't, I think that shows you something. And I think that's good, as long as they can get to him. Of course, Fernando Rodney's there closing out games like a madman. And on the pitching side for the Cardinals, this is a very interesting lineup because they don't have a whole lot of power. They're 3-4 guys. Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb are both over 10 home runs. Goldie has 18 and Lamb has 17, but no one else has over 10. So they're not going to drive the ball out of the yard like crazy. And I actually got to see him play recently. What they do is they just get one hit and it strings together another one. So I think that's going to be a good test for the pitchers to see if they can stop all the momentum and leave runners on base to make sure that, you know, the chain doesn't get started, because it's hitting is contagious. That's the old cliche, and it's true. And that's the basis of this Diamondback lineup. So I think on both sides of the ball, it's going to be very interesting and very telling to see where the Cardinals are going moving forward.
And I like that you bring up the Cardinals pitching, though, because the Cardinals will have Martinez, Wainwright, and Lynn pitching. And compared to the other pitchers, I really like the matchups for the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at that, and I was thinking the same thing. I think that the pitching matchups certainly favor the Cardinals. It's just, you know, if the offense decides to show up this series, or if they get that back against the wall feeling like we were talking about last week. So it's going to be very interesting.
Okay, so guys, make your predictions then on the Arizona series. Give me wins, losses, and then what you think happens after that, what impact that has on the Cardinals moving forward. Let's start with you, Trevor.
That's tough. I think I'm definitely going to give Carlos Martinez the win over Taijuan Walker in game one. I think that the Godley-Waino matchup is going to be hard because Godley's 3-1 with a 2.53 ERA, so I think I'm going to have to give that to Diamondbacks. I'm going to go 2-1 Cardinals because I think Lynn will be able to beat Corbin, who's not pitching well this year. So I say the Cardinals win the series, and it just depends on if the offense shows up or not, how it is going forward. If it's a bunch of 2-1 games, then I don't think that shows you as much as you want it to, as if it's going to be, you know, 8-1 or something like that. So I think either way, if they win the series, I think that then the national series will become more important, because then they looked at that one for selling as you get closer to July and trade deadline and all that stuff. So I don't know what this series is going to, you know, afterward I can probably make my predictions, and I probably will, but right now it's hard to predict what's going to happen.
Okay, Tito?
I'll have to agree with you on that one, Trevor. It is pretty difficult to predict right now. I did see a stat earlier today where it said Wainwright's last, like, so many road starts, he has like a 7 ERA. So I'm kind of nervous about that. He looked better his last start. So I'm hoping that same Adam Wainwright shows up in Arizona. I'm going to also say that the Cardinals will win two of the three. I think their offense is clicking right now at a high rate, and I'm excited to see what they can do in Arizona. And it's like I said, they play well in Arizona. I think the biggest hindrance right now, outside of starting pitching, is actually their bullpen. Their bullpen has struggled mightily in late innings. I mean, Trevor Rosenthal, Sungjuan Oh has not been great. You know, it's starting to concern me a little bit, and maybe it's because of overuse. But you know, at this point in the season, you gotta throw your best pitchers out there. You gotta try and win some games. Yeah, the offense is going to have to show up. You know, if Wainwright's going to give up, you know, three or four earned runs, you got to be able to cover that. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. The Cardinals are a good road team as well. I mean, they've got one of the best records on the road this year, and it'll be really interesting. But I also would love to know how that's going to implement, you know, what that does in the standings for the Central Division. You know, if the Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers lose out some of those games, or at least two of those games, you're picking up two games, and all of a sudden, you know, you're back to only being three back of first place in the Central Division. So that's kind of where I am right now. I think the Cardinals are treading water a little bit, but they could be. I mean, who knows? By the end of this week, they could be as close as two games back or one game back.
Yeah, those are very interesting comments, you guys. And what I'd like to do is we're going to take another break. But when we come back, I'd really like to focus on that same series. But I want you to tell me what happens if the Cardinals only manage to win one game. So stick with us. You're listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode number 10. Here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. You are listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode number 10, a big milestone for us. We do broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. So thanks for joining in tonight if you're listening live, and if you're listening to this as a podcast, thank you for that as well. I'm Michael Miles, co-editor of Redbird Rants, joined tonight by Trevor Huth, one of our contributors, and my co-editor, Tito Rivera. And before the break, I tossed out this idea. We were talking about the upcoming Arizona series. Both of the guys said that the Cardinals are likely to take two out of three from the series. My question was, what happens if the Cardinals only take one out of three? Tito, let's start with you. What happens?
Well, if they lose two of those games, they pretty much fall back to right where they were, you know, two games ago, and they're going to be seven games under 500 again with a month to go, essentially, till the trade deadline. And that is not a good thought. I mean, I certainly don't like thinking about them being a terrible team this year and having to sell pieces, but that's where my thoughts are going to go, is that if they do lose two of three, Cardinal fans better be prepared to see some names go. Trevor Rosenthal, Sungjuan Oh, Lance Lynn, you know, I'll say Matt Carpenter again, but that's where it's going to lead to. And again, as we were mentioning earlier in the show, I could honestly see something happening that weekend with the coaching staff. You know, I could honestly see it. I mean, think about it. You know, even if they lose two, but what if they lose all three of the games? Where does that even leave you? I mean, you at that point, you might find yourself almost 7.5 back and probably a last place team in the Central Division. So it's going to be a really, really fine line, and that's why maybe – you know, to Trevor's point earlier in the show, saying don't overlook this series because this is a really, really important series. Might be the most important series that the Cardinals have to date, or maybe in the entire season. So if they lose two, it's going to be bad news for them.
Yeah, I agree. If they lose two, I'm going to take a little less cautious. You're saying be prepared. I'm saying I think it has to happen if they lose two. I think that they need to start selling and getting prospects back to rebuild the team, because if you get the prospects, that'll create some excitement with the fans. Like, okay, we have a future. And really, that's, at least me as a fan, that's what I'm looking for. I want the future. I want to be able to be spoiled with being in the playoffs almost every year again. And if it takes a little bit of developing, then okay, you know, you sit back and watch it. But right now, they have some really good prospects. But if you're not, I mean, right, a lot of them are hanging out in the minor leagues. I always talk about Sierra. I can never pronounce his name. You guys are going to have to help me out.
Magnaris.
Magnaris, thank you. It's a tough one. But I'm sure you guys know by now, based on how much I write about him, I love him as a prospect. I want to see him in the majors getting at bats if it's going to go badly. And I think that if they lose two, the selling is going to happen. There's going to be some moves made. But I also want to see Carson Kelly and Sierra and probably even Bader come up and get some time, because what's going to help them most is those at bats at the major league level. And so I think that those two things are going to happen if they lose two. I think we're going to start seeing more prospects, and I think we're going to see some of the bigger name pieces leave the team.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you guys, and that's why I wanted to ask the question. What, you know, my gut tells me exactly what both of you are saying, that if it comes to that, then we're going to be looking at some pretty massive changes. And I think that the Cardinal faithful will need to be prepared to learn some new names that they may not know, some people who could be in Memphis or in Double A, maybe even some guys who are in Palm Beach. I mean, you know, anything's possible. If you're going to be a bottom dweller, you may as well get some guys some experience. That being said, I'd like for both of you to take a look back at. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, but that's why I said what I said in the very, very beginning of this show. Cardinal fans have to be realistic. If you go into a season saying no one on the roster can be touched by a trade, please, come on. You have more sense than that. Have more sense than that. I know Matt Carpenter is a fan favorite, and I get it. But if the Cardinals moved him, you should not be surprised. You shouldn't be. That's just how it works. That's baseball. That's business. And John Mozeliak would be a fool not to listen to offers on him.
I completely agree. And I know that we as writers, we've had this talk a lot about who should be untouchable. In my book, there's only one untouchable player in the organization. I think that's Carson Kelly. Just because a catcher who is as exciting as him is very hard to come by with aging Molina, you're going to want Kelly there. Other than that, I think that you should be hearing offers for everybody. We talked about the minuscule chances of even Carlos Martinez, but you got to at least hear the offer if it's going to be good enough.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So
I mean, again, yeah, it's not about whether I'm crazy or you're crazy, Trevor. It's just being realistic. That's just how it goes. And if you can't come to grips with it, then find a new team. Find a new favorite player to like on the Cardinals, because chances are the one that you liked before is probably going to get moved and is not going to be a Cardinal for the rest of his life. That's just how it goes. Look at Matt Holliday. You probably thought he was a fan. He is a fan favorite, but he had to go. His time was up. Well, you weren't crying about it then, were you? Okay, so then move on. Move on.
Yeah, and I think the point that you're making, you guys, is that, you know, baseball is a business. And if it's a business, it's a money-making business. And you don't make money for a long time if you've got players who can't manufacture the runs, can't manufacture the hits, because those are the things that equate to ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, what I'd love to do is have you guys take a look back into June, and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest ranking, most disappointing, 10 being great and high up on the ranks, evaluate the month of June for the St. Louis Cardinals. Let us know what you thought of the month of June. Let's start with you, Trevor.
I'm at a 3. There were some high spots, obviously, with Carpenter and Fowler heating up and, of course, Carlos Martinez. But when you lose 7 in a row, they come back and sweep the Phillies, you think things are going to be okay, and then they didn't keep the momentum going. And it's just been very disappointing to see them game in and game out look like they're going to – they've had these moments, I feel like, where they look like they're going to pull out of whatever slump they're in, and then it just doesn't – it doesn't work. We talked a lot about the energy last podcast. I wrote an article about it, and I don't think that the energy's there right now, and that's what's most disappointing to me. Naturally, I gravitate towards pitching too, and that's gone downhill. So I got to put it at a 3, and that's being generous, honestly.
you're not far from it though, and I'll tell you why. I'm flipping through my June schedule article just to see where I put the Cardinals record for the end of June, where I thought it was going to be because of how well they were doing and how badly they needed to capitalize on the easiness of the June schedule. Because if you look back, it is an easy schedule. I said that the Cardinals, let's see, what did I say? I said that the Cardinals were going to end up with a 17-10 record in June. This has been a complete bust. A complete bust. I would almost go as far as a 2, as how poorly this month has been. And I honestly thought that the Cardinals would actually be at 42-35, and they literally are pretty much the exact opposite of what it is right now. So I'm eating my own words right now. So this is a flat 2 for me. It's been brutal. It's been a terrible month for the Cardinals.
Now, is that a 2 based on your flaws or a 2 based on the Cardinals' flaws?
Both.
That's a good question.
I'll say both. But be real with me real quick. Phillies, 2 series with the Phillies. You have 2 series with the Reds. You had a series with the Pirates. You had a series with Baltimore. Those are teams that the Cardinals should beat. They should beat those teams. And I'm not saying sweep them every single time, but there should be series wins. They got swept through 4 games in the Cincinnati Reds. 4 games. They couldn't win 2 of those? That is on them. I can blame myself for trying to predict, but that completely is on them.
I agree. I mean, you look at what this month had in store. It was – you're thinking the Cardinals are going to be in a good spot in the division and, you know, they would move up, especially playing the Reds and the Pirates and, of course, the Phillies, but they're in the East. So, and it just didn't pan out. Nothing seemed to click all at the right time. And I don't know. It was at times very hard to watch them play.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to whether or not the Cardinals were ready for this month. They finished they found themselves after starting May out really, really well. They finished 13-13 in the month. Then they come back and do this, and it's just like, where are you guys? Where is your mental state of mind at right now? They've had way too easy of a schedule. Here's the list of teams that they were facing this month. Phillies, Cubs, Reds, Brewers, Orioles, Pirates, Diamondbacks, and 1 game with the Nationals. I mean, I just don't get it. This should have been at least a 500 month, and unfortunately, it's not going to be.
Yeah, and you guys are actually very optimistic and a lot nicer than I was. I actually think the month of June is a 1 for the very reasons that you said. We should not be sitting this many games out at 500 ball as we are now, not with the caliber of players that we have on the squad and not with the players that Mozeliak has given. But again, that harkens back to my point of, I believe Mozeliak is setting up so that he has all the pieces in place to say, I gave you everything you needed. Now, did I give you the best, the absolute best that's out there? No. But I gave you what we had, our best. And our best should have been good enough, at least in the month of June, with all of the teams that we were facing. So for me, June was a want. But we have actually, and Tito, I believe you wrote about it, about how negative Cardinal Nation is right now, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
So let's turn the tables a little, and I'd love to hear who you guys have as your June MVP. You know, we put out a Twitter poll through our Twitter this morning. We also put it on our Facebook asking our readers. And I'm going to let Trevor talk first, Tito. So if you would, if you'll pull up those results for us, I'd just love to hear who you guys think is the MVP of the Cardinals for the month of June. So take it away, Trevor.
Well, when I voted on Twitter, everyone agreed with me that it's Carlos Martinez. Now, again, I'm biased. I always gravitate towards pitchers. And that could have changed the vote, you know, on Twitter. I voted a while ago, but I'm always biased towards pitchers. I love to see good pitching. And I think that Carlos Martinez is finally where we all want him to be. And I know that last week I said something along those lines, and that's why he wasn't, you know, the hottest player on the Cardinals. But I think it's important for him to be where he needs to be, because that is the ace. He can spark the rest of the staff. And you look at what he did through June, he still has one more start tomorrow, but 27.1 innings, 31 strikeouts, and a 2.3 ERA. Now, it was a lot lower. He gave up, I believe, 4 runs in his last outing. I'd call that kind of down. But if you just look at some of the other numbers, and these are the numbers that stood out to me, and obviously this is why it didn't go as well for him in his last outing. But in order for his 4 starts to this point, his left on base percentage is 96.2, 85.7, 100, which is the complete game shutout. And then in the last game, he had 33.3. So you can kind of see the drop-off at the end. But regardless of that, I think that him pitching well is going to be pivotal for the rest of the staff heating up. And I think that that's why he is the MVP.
Tito?
I'm in 1,000% agreement with Trevor on this. And just to add on to those numbers, because they were as good as he says, what really stands out to me for the month of June so far is that he's held opponent's batting average to 194. 194, that's insane. Their on-base percentage, just 255. Their slugging, 301. Their OPS, 556. That's incredible. His batting average on balls in play, 262. So, you know, he really, really stepped up in June. And he delivered that – when he delivered that complete game shutout, you know, you kind of had to think to yourself, like, okay, he's gotten over the hump. He's ready to go. He's ready to dominate the rest of the way. And, you know, honestly, you have to kind of go out there at this point and expect him to pitch like that. 31 strikeouts in 4 starts, that's really, really good. And only 8 walks, that's really, really good. I mean – He is the clear June MVP in my opinion. You know, and we said, you know, what about Dexter Fowler? He had that great month, or he had a great, you know, he actually has had a pretty good month. You know, he was batting really well, got hurt a couple times. I also said Matt Carpenter on there, and Matt Carpenter has done well too. I mean, I think I saw it today since over his, like, last 8 or so games, he's batting, like, 310 or something like that. That's pretty good. And his, you know, he's lowered his home run per at-bats from 20 to 12. That's, you know, that's the sign of things turning around. And then, you know, a lot of other people said Tommy Pham. I understand Tommy Pham as an MVP, but I think a lot of people are probably basing that off of just one series. And that would be the Philly series, which, of course, you know, not to overshadow what he did in that, but, you know, that's just one series. But if we go to the poll, the Twitter poll said 47% Carlos Martinez, 13% Dexter Fowler, 27% said Matt Carpenter, and 13% said other. And some of the names that we saw were Tommy Pham. I believe Jed Jerko was one of them as well. On the Facebook side of things, a lot of people said Carp. One person said Grichik, so shout out to you. A lot of people, yeah, but a lot of people said Carp. They thought that Matt Carpenter was the MVP, and he finished second in the Twitter poll. So it's easy to see how that could have played out. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that the Cardinals offense actually is starting to click a little bit. But Carlos Martinez, again, and I think Trevor agrees with me here, he was the clear June MVP.
I 100% agree. I think that his play is exactly where it needs to be to end up taking at least two from Arizona and maybe putting yourself in a position to buy instead of sell.
Right.
Okay, guys, 4 minutes left, so 2 minutes apiece. Start with you, Tito. Give us your National League power rankings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, so I'm going to go Dodgers, Rockies, Diamondbacks, or I'm sorry, Dodgers, Nationals, Rockies, Diamondbacks, Brewers.
Okay. Trevor, your top five.
Based on how they've been playing recently, I got to go Dodgers up top. I think they've, won 10 in a row. Nationals, Rockies, Diamondbacks at four, and then just because of the I think that Rizzo's been giving a decent spark plug from the leadoff spot, I got to put the Cubs there just because of how good their lineup can be, and him getting there is going to make them a lot better. So I got to put them at five in a surprise, and, you know, I can be called crazy for it, but I believe in it.
It's not crazy.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy for putting them up there. I, you know, they are a dangerous team, and they've gone through some struggles, and I think they're going to pull themselves around. We all know that. I mean, the media loves them, and so they have to, right?
Yeah, you'd think so, especially, again. I was going to say, again, just with the way Rizzo's hitting, it's going to act like a spark plug just like Carpenter did. So you got to think it's going to turn around.
Okay, so we've got just a couple seconds left. So let's go to some final thoughts. Trevor, give us some final thoughts as we close out June, and or your final thoughts on this being our milestone 10th episode.
Well, I joined. This is my second episode, so I'm really happy to be here for the milestone. I got called up to the big leagues with both the editors, and my thoughts about June is just pay attention to this Diamondbacks series because it's going to be huge, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, Tito, we're tossing it over to you. So your thoughts on closing out June, final thoughts, and your thoughts on this being the milestone 10th episode.
We've come a long way for 10 episodes. It's been really fun to participate in a majority of them. I really enjoyed doing the podcast with everybody, and I know we do have a really good time with it, and it gives us a chance to speak our mind. As far as June, you know, Trevor's right, look for the Arizona Diamondbacks series, but I'm more interested, and I think a lot of people are going to be thinking about whether the Cardinals are going to be buyers or sellers, and the pendulum hasn't swung in a certain way, but that's where it's headed.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and actually I will say that my final thoughts on closing out the month of June is I really want to see what happens with management. I want to see what they're going to do, and so that's why I am looking forward to the Arizona series. And as it relates to this being our milestone 10th episode, I just want to say thank you to all of the writers who have joined us. Thank you especially to Tito for really helping kick us off into the podcasting world, and thank you to Brandon Voigt, who helped out tremendously as we got everything started, helped us put together some of our lead-in music, and he's our secondary host. Tito's sort of our bullpen host, and it's great when he gets to step up and put the DJ headphones on. But I'm really proud of the work that we've done. And so we just want to say thank you. And on behalf of everyone at Redbird Rant, want to say go Cardinals and check us out at redbirdrant.com. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Have a good night.
Okay, and we are off the air.
Woo! Got him.
Hey,
I hope Johnny
another great episode.
I was going to call Johnny out, but I didn't do it.
Okay. I came up with a rumor idea during that just based off of what we were talking about with bullpen help. I think I might just, even though nothing's been said about it, write up with Justin Wilson from the Tigers rumor piece tomorrow.
Love it. I'm actually putting the Tigers as one of the potential, you know, I was working on the slideshow today. I'm going to finish it for tomorrow. I got really busy on some other stuff today. But the Tigers, I think, they are a team that the Cardinals should start kicking some tires.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know I love the J.D. Martinez move. I think that Justin Wilson could help out, and he'll come fairly cheap because they have Joe Jimenez coming up behind him, and he's not pitching well right now. So,
I think I'm going to write up a rumor for Justin Wilson piece tomorrow.
Go for it.
Great. All right, everybody. Have a great one. I'm going to hit the end episode.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.